It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Hello, praise the Lord, and welcome to Jesus is the Answer. This is Pastor Peter. I'm going to pray for you and your needs. I might not pray in the program, but after the program, if you call, there are some people are there to pray for you, and I will also be praying for you. We are studying about the God's salvation plan for mankind. And this is almost the sixth in the series now. So last time we learned the creation of Adam and creation of the believers in Christ Jesus. Today we are going to learn the Old Testament's salvation, their baptism, their Holy Spirit, and their stand with Christ. So we are going to learn from the beginning. As you know, when Adam committed sin, God told them to give the blood sacrifice. And the Word of God says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Adam taught their children. Adam was doing sacrifices. Then his children, they start doing it. Cain and Abel. And the Word of God says, Abel gave the excellent sacrifice by faith. It is written in book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. When you say excellent sacrifice, what was the problem with the Cain sacrifice? The Cain sacrifice was not according to the will of God. If he would have done according to the will of God, he would have been blessed. But he wanted to do his own will. Here we see Cain did according to his will, and the Word of God says God did not receive Cain or his offering, but God received Abel and his offering. What was the reason? The Word of God says Abel did it by faith in God. He was believing, today I'm giving this lamb as a sacrifice, but one day the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, will be giving his blood sacrifice for me. That's why we believe that by faith. And he did the excellent sacrifice. And because of that, God witnessed about his faith, his offering, and God says he is righteous. So the Old Testament righteousness was by faith and by action. Means serving the Lord with a giving sacrifice. We see Noah sacrificed. We see Abraham sacrificed, the blood sacrifice. And then we see when his children went to Egypt, and when they came out of Egypt, you read this in Exodus chapter 12, God gave them commandment about giving the lamb as a sacrifice. And when they sacrificed the lamb, the Word of God says they put the blood sign on the top of the door and the both side. And the Word of God says when he walks through the Egypt and he sees the sign, if the blood sign there, that house, those people will not be killed. I believe some of the Egyptians believed what Moses was saying and kept the sign on their doorpost, and all Israeli people put the blood sign on their doorpost and they did the sacrifice. And according to the word of God says God or the death angel passed over, and so those people were not killed. But when they were journeying, we saw the mixed people. Some of the people followed them. I think they were also saved by the blood of the Lamb. So the point I'm making, in the beginning, from the Abel up to the John the Baptist. Each and every person was sanctified or cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But our sanctification is different than the Old Testament sanctification. Old Testament is made by the blood of bulls and goats. But the New Testament is made by the blood of Jesus Christ. There are so many people do not even understand what the testament is. Testament is the commitment or the promise God made with the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Moses, and gave them commandment to do the sacrifices. That blood sacrifice was according to the old covenant. But if you read in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, God says, I'm going to make a new covenant. And that new covenant he was going to make, and in that covenant their sins will be forgiven and forgotten. There won't be any record of their sins. That didn't happen to the Israeli people yet. It will happen in the millennium. But according to the word of God, Matthew chapter 26 verse 28, when Jesus Christ was giving them the last Passover feast, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. And he said, this is the blood for the New Testament, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of their sins. The blood of the Lamb, they took it, even the Egypt, that was only for the Israeli nations or each and every family. But as you know, the John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, he says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, the whole world. So the Jesus Christ died, he shed his blood for the mankind, and that was for eternity. But the Old Testament people, when they commit sin, they have to do the sacrifice all the time. Their sins were not cleansed or removed. Their sins were covered. But our sins are not covered. Our sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record of our sins. So I was trying to give you the comparison in the Old Testament people's salvation, their baptism, and their Holy Spirit. We learn step by step. But here we say, or here we see, when they came out of the Egypt, and when they came near that sea, and the Pharaoh's army were coming, and in the book of Exodus chapter 14, if you read verse 13, Moses said, behold, the great salvation. That means they were saved before by the blood. Now he is saying, you see this Pharaoh's enemy, you will be not seeing them again. That we see in the New Testament also in the book of Romans chapter 6. Once we are baptized, our sins are forgiven and the old Adam, the old Adamic sin, is putting into the sea. And so we're coming out of the water with the hope of resurrection. The point I'm making, in the Old Testament people, their salvation was by the blood of bulls and goats. Our salvation is not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the word of God says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 to 14, if you read, it says the blood of bulls and goats were sanctifying their flesh outwardly. But the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies us inwardly. That means God purges our conscience and gives us grace to serve the Lord according to His will. The Old Testament people, they did the sacrifice because that was the law. But the Word of God says law was not perfect, and that law was not making them perfect. God says, I'm going to make a new covenant. and that is in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. But the point I'm making, our sanctification and the Old Testament sanctification is different. Ours is much more precious because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The many people do not understand this, and they sometimes think, I should be like Abraham or Moses or Daniel or Joseph or any Old Testament characters. They did great things, but their perfection and our perfection is different. They cannot be perfected without us. The book of Hebrews chapter 11, we read in the last two verses, they did all kinds of great things, but still they were not able to be perfect. Only perfection comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. They have to give their blood sacrifice every time they commit sin. As I said earlier, Psalm 32 verse 1 and 2, there is a picture given about two different kinds of people. The verse 1, it says that one man is blessed because his sins are covered. And another man also is blessed, but his sins are forgiven, forgotten, and there is no guile in his heart. Now, which man you think is blessed? The both men are blessed, but I think the second type of person I like to be. The first type of person is washed by the blood of bulls and goats. The second man is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's why there is no guile, there is no sin, because our sins are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, He says we are righteous and we just like we never committed sin. And so our righteousness and their righteousness is different. When they believe God, they were called righteous. Or they given the sacrifice, they were called righteous. But our righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ and comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. So see the difference? The Old Testament sanctification and our sanctification is different. So from that you know, we cannot compare ourselves with the Old Testament people. They did a great job, but according to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, I think verse, if you read from verse 39 and 40, it says they did great works, but they were not perfected. God has kept something better than them. Without us, they cannot be perfected. So our salvation is greater than them. Now about the baptism. In the time of Noah, the word of God says they were baptized in Noah. Time of Moses, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says they were all baptized in Moses. And so after that we see the John the Baptist baptizing people. But the point I'm making, even though those people were baptized, their baptism and our baptism is different. Because Jesus Christ gave the commandment after the resurrection. And what did he say? He says in Matthew chapter 28, he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Spirit. Now that commandment was not given to the John the Baptist. And so, sometimes people do not understand and they think, what's wrong with John's baptism? If you remember, Apollos knew the John's baptism and he baptized people according to the John's baptism. And when Paul met them, this is recorded in Acts chapter 19, if you read verses 1 to 6, Paul asked them a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we never heard about the Holy Spirit. What happened? If the Apollos would baptize these people in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, they will at least hear the word Holy Spirit. They said, we never heard about Holy Spirit. From that we know, Apollos didn't know how to baptize people. And so Paul rebaptized them, and as soon as they were baptized, they filled with the Holy Spirit. Now some people will say, how do you know? Because the Holy Spirit comes, and when you Holy Spirit you receive, you will speak in tongues. This is the evidence. Now the people says, you know, we took water baptism, we believe in Jesus, and we believe that we have the Holy Spirit. But when you ask them, what is the evidence? They could not tell. I'll give an example, then you'll know. Peter went to Cornelius' house, and he started preaching. And people heard the word of God. They were convicted. They were pierced in their heart. They received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they wanted to know more about baptism and Holy Spirit. I believe in Peter's preaching, he talked about salvation, he talked about water baptism, he talked about the Holy Spirit. And when they were convinced in their spirit, God filled them with the Holy Spirit and they start speaking in tongues. Now Peter understood. Peter says that the way we were baptized, the way we were speaking in tongues, exactly this Cornelius family is speaking in tongues. So who can oppose the baptism for these people? And then he commanded, and those people were baptized. Now, why Peter said that? Because in early church, they didn't want any heathen to be baptized or to be joined with them in their synagogue or in their churches. When Peter goes to Jerusalem, that is in Book of Acts chapter 11, Cornelius' story is in Book of Acts chapter 10, but when Peter goes to Jerusalem, those people start asking him, the elders, why did you baptize the heathen? What Peter said? When God gave them the Holy Spirit, just like us, who am I to stop them not to taking baptism? And so the Peter was telling them how he knew that they received the Holy Spirit because they spoke in tongue. Just think, they didn't speak in tongue. Do you think Peter will tell the church or the church elders that those people received the Holy Spirit and those people will ask, what is the sign? Peter would not know. So the point I'm making, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Spirit of Christ. How do you know? It says in Romans chapter 8 verse 9, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. St. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, as many as received Him, received Jesus Christ, to them God the Father gives the authority to be called the sons of God. So once you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a children of God. And the Word of God says, Book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, God the Father says, now you believe Jesus Christ, my Son, as your Savior, as your Lord. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take my Son's Spirit and put it in you. So as my Son calls me Abba, you will be able to call me Abba Father. And so when we receive Jesus Christ, we receive the Spirit of Christ as well as the Spirit of God. God the Father and God the Son, they were always together. And we read in the book of St. John chapter 14 verse 23, Jesus Christ says, I will come and bring my Father with me and we will make our home in you. That means God the Father, God the Son can live in us as soon as we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So see the difference? Their baptism or their Holy Spirit is different than ours. The Old Testament baptism, as I said, even though they were called baptized in Moses or baptized in Noah or baptized in John. But our baptism, we take in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. And our baptism also is immersion. There are so many people do not believe in immersion baptism, but that is not my subject right now. Some other day we will explain to you from the Word of God. So now we see their salvation, their water baptism, and their Holy Spirit is different than ours. Now, some people will say, I do not understand the Holy Spirit part. Because in the Bible, everywhere you read, it says Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Even the David says Holy Spirit, and everywhere we read the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the difference? When Jesus Christ came into this world, Jesus Christ was the first one to tell us more about God the Father and more about the Holy Spirit. Before that, in the Old Testament, nobody was able to explain what the Holy Spirit is. Nobody was able to explain what the Trinity is. But Jesus Christ explained to us what the God the Father is, what the Holy Spirit is all about. Now, if you start studying from Enoch to the John the Baptist, and all the prophets in between, all the judges, when you read about them and their baptism, it says they had the Spirit of God, or Spirit of the Lord, or Spirit of Christ. Now somebody will say, I never heard that. But you have to study it. But I will prove it to you, all the Old Testament people, they had the Spirit of Christ. Even though they didn't know who the Christ was. But the Word of God says, from the Genesis to the up to Jesus Christ came, all the Old Testament people, they saw Jesus. Jesus was working with them. Even though Abraham saw Jesus. Moses, Jesus talked to Moses, said, I am that I am. And some people might be thinking, oh, you might be only Jesus man. Already said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What Jesus Christ said? St. John chapter 4 verse 24. Jesus says, God is Spirit. And whoever worships Him, they should worship Him with the Spirit and truth. When you say God is Spirit, can you see God? Can you see Spirit? No. Then how can Moses, Elijah, or any other prophet will be able to see the Spirit of God? Nobody will be able to see the Spirit of God. Not only Moses and other prophets, but I'm telling you, not even Adam was able to see God the Father, because God is in the Spirit. So you cannot see the Father, which is in Spirit, with our naked eyes. But last time I told you, Stephen was able to see God the Father and God the Son. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ, as well as the Holy Spirit. So he was able to see Father. But no one from Garden of Eden until the Christ appeared, no one was able to see. How do you know? Because the Word of God says so. St. John chapter 1 verse 18. It says, no one has seen God anytime. When you say anytime, that means anytime. Some people say, oh, Adam saw God before. He saw Jesus. Moses saw Jesus. Abraham saw Jesus. They never saw God the Father. So the God the Father, God the Father was revealed by Jesus Christ. So the time is running. We will be talking more about this subject in the next program. So I'm going to give you a chance. Let's pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that you came from heaven, died for me, rose again. You are a living God. I want to be like you. Not like Old Testament people, but I want to be like Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose Jesus Christ came, to die on the cross of Calvary so we can be perfected in Christ Jesus. So we should be receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So please pray this kind of prayer and give your heart to Lord Jesus Christ. You will be never be the same. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the people who are listening. Let them know that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and only God. And through Jesus Christ, we can be perfected. In Jesus' name I pray and I call it done. Amen. Now, if you want to know more about this program, please check the number. We'll be praying for you and your needs. And we will be studying more in the next hour. May God richly bless you and use you more and more for His glory. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.